Joy to welcome you to our services. It's a beautiful Lord's Day, and we are truly thankful that you're here this morning, that you've chosen to come and to be a part of our worship assembly here. Of course, it is a Thanksgiving week, and we're missing quite a few people today who are traveling out of town. And I'm sure that we'll have many visitors with us probably on Wednesday, and we have visitors with us today, and we're grateful to you for your presence as well. And I hope that we treat you in a way that you'll want to come back and be with us anytime you have an opportunity. I was given a couple of announcements. It's amazing how popular you are when an announcement needs to be made. But I was reminded here that the Seeds and Light skating party will be at 6 o'clock on Tuesday night. Also, I was handed this just a minute ago. Ladies are going to have a ladies' night out. It says, ladies, come for a night of fellowship, food, and fun. It says, Delrata ladies will have their first ever holiday food competition on Monday night, December 6th at 6:30 in the fellowship hall. Sign up to bring your best dish in one of four categories. Sign-up sheets are in the east and west foyers. Entries will be judged on presentation and taste. Now, I got a question about that. Who's the judges? I think I ought to be one. So if we need some judges on that for that occasion, I'm volunteering. It says there's a sign-up sheet for those that want to come but may not want to enter the competition. So please keep that in mind. You can see Monica Kackelman or Nancy Stowe if you have any questions about that. There's one person I'm very happy to see here today. I'm really thrilled to be able to see him at our assembly, and that's Freddie Johnston. Freddie suffered a couple of heart attacks on Thursday afternoon, working hard as he always does down here at church. Went through a procedure Thursday afternoon, a couple of stents put in, and now he's here better than ever. And that just shows you what being stubborn and cantankerous can do for a person. And we are very glad that Freddie's able to be with us today. If you want to drive behind the back of the building and kind of see some of the work that Freddie's done, it's nice and clean back there. Still more to do, he says, but we appreciate the work that Freddie does. I hope you'll come back tonight for our service at 5 o'clock. We have a real treat in store tonight. You're going to have the privilege and the honor of hearing Brother Terry Edwards preach at our 5 o'clock worship hour. He has some of his family in with him already from Texas, and we want you to come back tonight to be a part of that. This morning I want to talk about, of course, the attitude of being thankful, having an attitude of gratitude. I think being thankful is something that we are not nearly as we ought to be. We need to be more thankful for all the things that God has given us. You know, the account of the healing of the 10 lepers, I believe, is replete with lessons. Lessons that we can learn that can be helpful to us in our Christian lives. But I want to emphasize the importance of gratitude from this particular text. I'm afraid far too many people today fail to be thankful for the wonderful blessings that God has given us. And if you just think about the abundant blessings that we have today, we have so much for which to be thankful. There's no doubt in my mind that we are the wealthiest people that have ever existed on the face of this earth. Perhaps no people at any time have been as blessed as we are. And perhaps no people at any time has been as ungrateful for the blessings that God has given. I want us to focus today on Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 12, and think about some lessons that we can learn based upon this account in our Lord's ministry. The Bible says that as Jesus entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers. They stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And so when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not any found to return to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. There are several observations that I think that we ought to make from this particular passage as we begin this morning. I think, first of all, we need to see that these lepers were isolated individuals. Notice the text says that these lepers stood afar off. And of course, that was the law then. They had to be isolated. The Bible talks about in Luke chapter 13 and verse 46 that the leper shall live alone. His dwelling place shall be outside the camp. Can you imagine what it might be like to be diagnosed as a leper? Perhaps in the beginning stages of leprosy, not being able to hug your kids in the morning, not be able to embrace your wife or give her a kiss, not to have the camaraderie that would exist among close friends and family members, but to now have to live in total and complete isolation with only others who also might have this horrible disease. And these lepers appeared to have known of Jesus. Jesus, of course, had healed lepers throughout his ministry. Jesus was famous for what he had done in regarding healing those that were sick. His fame spread throughout the land. And then notice here how Jesus tested their faith. He said, go and show yourselves to the priest. Now, the fact that these men would leave immediately and go and show themselves to the priest without having been healed initially, I think demonstrates the faith that they had in God. I think these 10 lepers stand in strong contrast to Naaman in the Old Testament. You remember Naaman when he came to the house of the priest to be healed? He simply said, and he sent by messenger to Naaman, go dip 7 times in the Jordan and you'll be healed. The Bible talks about how Naaman went away in a rage. He says, are not the rivers of Bethel and Pharpar far better than the rivers of Jordan here? I will not do so. But in contrast to Naaman, these lepers demonstrated their faith in what Jesus said. They went to the high priest and they were healed on the way. Verse 15 and 16 talks about the fact that they were healed as they went. And the Samaritan, the foreigner, it says, was the only one that returned to give thanks. Can you imagine, as the Bible talks about, the loud voice of thanksgiving that this Samaritan had as he praised and glorified God for being healed? The others were probably Jews. To me, what's interesting here is that perhaps only 10%, and it was true in this case, that really gave thanks. And I wonder if that's not a correct ratio even among people today. Could it be maybe today that only 10% of people are truly thankful for what God has done for them? Are we really grateful? Do we glorify and magnify our Creator for all the wonderful things that He's done for us physically, spiritually, materially? We need to be thankful. And then we notice verse 19 that their faith made them whole. Now, how do we know that these men had faith? Well, Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priest. They obeyed. They demonstrated their faith by going to the priest. And we need to understand today, spiritually speaking, that our faith, our obedient faith, will likewise make us whole and cleanse us from the spiritual disease of leprosy, which is sin. When we're willing to believe in God to the point that our faith becomes obedient and active, that we are baptized into Christ, our sins are washed away, we're faithful to the Lord, then our sins also will be cleansed and washed away. But I want to suggest to you this morning that leprosy was a horrible disease. It was a terrible disease. I want you to listen to this particular description given in McClintock and Strong's Cyclopedia regarding the terrible nature of leprosy. Listen to the description that's given here, and you can read along with me. The spots are glossy and appear oily, or as if they were covered with varnish. These spots later erupt into soft, roundish tumors, varying in size, reddish in color. They're principally on the face and ears, but in the course of time, they cover the entire body. The face becomes frightfully deformed. The forehead has deep lines and is covered with numerous tumors. The hair falls from the head, and the eyebrows become bald, swelled, and furrowed. The eyelashes fall out, and the eyes assume a fixed, staring look. The lips are enormously thickened and shiny. The beard falls out. The chin and ears are beset with erupting tumors. The lobe of the nose is frightfully enlarged and deformed. The nostrils are dilated and internally constricted. The voice is hoarse and nasal, and the breath has an intolerable odor. The nails loosen and decay and drop off. Joint after joint of the fingers and toes ulcerate and fall off one after the other. The hollow of the foot becomes swelled so that the sole becomes flat, and the hand and feet are often lost entirely. The gums are absorbed and the teeth disappear. The nose, the eyes, the tongue, and the palate are slowly consumed. And finally, the victim shrinks into the earth while medicine has no power to stop the ravages of this awful disease or even relieve his tortures. And then it goes on to talk about how that leprosy is still a problem in 8 or so countries in our world today. Just think about what an awful plight it would be for one to have this disease of leprosy. Think about what the future would hold for one to have this horrible disease and the hopelessness that came as a result. It could be cured by nothing other than the power of God. And there were 10 lepers who came to be healed of this horrible disease. 10 men who called upon the Lord to help them. And each one went as they were told by Jesus, demonstrating their faith in what Jesus had said. They went to the high priest. They were healed on their way to see the high priest. And only one healed leper returned to give thanks. Now we're very, very quick, aren't we, to condemn those that did not return. I think each one of us perhaps would say, I surely would have been one of those that would have returned to praise and glorify God for healing me of this dreaded disease. But I ask you this morning, as I ask myself, are we truly, truly thankful for all that God has done for us? You know, there's so many things that we have to be thankful for. I just think about, just for a moment, about the physical and the material blessings that we enjoy. Think about the houses that we're going to go home to this afternoon. Think about all the luxuries that we enjoy in those houses. Everything that we could possibly imagine is there. Our internet connections, our cable television, the cooking appliances that we enjoy, running water, flip a switch and the lights come on. These are things that people in the world have never even dreamed of. And how about the cars that we drive? What about the automobiles that are ours? Some families today probably came in 2 or maybe 3 automobiles. The world has never known of such. You know, I'm thankful for washing machines now. We were without a washing machine for 2 weeks. Had to go to the laundromat. But that was okay, I guess. Might have been an inconvenience. Most of the world today has never even seen a washing machine of any kind, much less to have one in your own home. What a convenience that is. And what about the abundance of food that we enjoy? You know, one of the great questions today among us here is, what are we going to eat when worship service is over? Where are we going to eat? Are we going to go here? Are we going to go there? Are we going to go home? We don't have to worry about food or a lack thereof. This coming Thursday, most of us will be with family and friends, and we'll probably eat till we're completely stuffed with turkey and dressing and all the fixings. Truly, we are remarkably blessed. I think about our young people, who I think take much for granted, as I did when I was young. The educational opportunities that they have to go to good schools, to further their education through college, to have the opportunity to have good jobs when they get out of college. Just think about the medical care that's available to us. These are things that the world can only dream about and think about. I don't want to rush through those things, but the main focus today, I want us to look at spiritual things. We need to be thankful, I believe, for the remission of our sins. The fact that through the blood of Jesus Christ, our sins can be washed away. You know, leprosy, many times, is compared in the Bible to sin. Sin and leprosy are a lot alike. You know, leprosy was very contagious. That's why these lepers were alone. Sin is also contagious, isn't it? Sin can spread. Leprosy is somewhat deceptive. At first, you didn't know, do I have leprosy? Could this spot or whatever, could it be this dreaded disease? It was deceptive at the first. Sin also deceives us today in its magnitude. Sin tends to increase, as does leprosy. Leprosy spreads, it increases on the body, and so does sin. Sin is terrible. Leprosy, as we viewed just a minute ago, is very loathsome, very despicable. Sin is just as loathsome, just as despicable as is leprosy. Leprosy is a physical disease. Sin is a spiritual disease. And leprosy was incurable except for the power of God. And sin likewise is incurable except for the power of God. It's only because of God and His love for us through the sending of His Son, His only begotten Son, to suffer on the cross for our sins, to die that awful death, the just for the unjust, that we might have the hope of heaven. We need to be thankful that our sins can be washed away. We need to be thankful for the death of Jesus Christ and what He did for us. He paid the debt that we could never pay. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 says that while we were still weak, in due time, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die, but God shows, He demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, it's because of the death of Jesus Christ that we have hope. It's because of the death of Jesus Christ that we know one day we're going to be victorious over the grave and live with God forever in heaven. We need to be thankful, I believe, for the church. The church is the body of Christ. Jesus is the Savior of the body. He gave Himself for the church. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. The church is that called out body. It is the saved. And we have the privilege and the honor of being members of that church. We need to be grateful for the opportunity to pray to God. We have the opportunity anytime we want to call upon our Creator. The Bible says in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. There's power in prayer. There's power when we pour out our hearts in prayer to God, asking Him for help and for strength, and thanking Him for what He's done for us. I think about the hope of heaven beyond this life. Aren't you thankful this life isn't all there is? Aren't you thankful that beyond this grave, beyond the grave, beyond this life, there's a place that's been prepared for each of us, prepared by the Lord Himself? When we leave this life, we have the privilege as faithful Christians of going home to be with our Father in heaven. Or even think about the difficulties of life. We don't have to be thankful as such for problems and difficulties, but there's joy in our hearts, as James talks about, because we have a loving and powerful Father that will help us through the difficulties of life. He'll strengthen us. He'll bring us to spiritual maturity, and patience will be produced in our lives as a result of its difficulties. I'm thankful for God's fidelity. He's always there for us. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. God says, there's one thing for sure. Friends may turn their back on you. Circumstances in life may not go your way. You may feel betrayed. At times you may feel lonely and discouraged. But God says, I'm on your side. I am your friend. I am your rock. I am your strength. You can depend on me. You can stake your soul and your life on my faithful word. God's fidelity is something for which we need to be thankful. The Bible says there in Colossians 3 and verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And be ye thankful. And I believe we'll have peace in our hearts when we submit our lives to God and to His will, when we're thankful and grateful for all the wonderful things that He's done on our behalf. This morning we're going to sing a song of encouragement. And I ask you, are you demonstrating your thankfulness to God by the way that you live? Can you really be thankful when you go out and you live your life, you talk in ways that bring shame upon the Lord and His church, you act in ways that are unbecoming to being a child of God? Are you truly thankful? Are you demonstrating your thanksgiving by thanks living? We need to glorify God as this one Samaritan did who came and gave thanks to the Lord for being healed of this horrible disease. Maybe you're here this morning and you're without that hope. Maybe you have the disease of sin in your life and you need the cure for it. This morning you can contact the blood of Jesus Christ. If in your faith this morning you're willing to repent of your sins and confess Jesus as being the Son of God, glorifying God in that confession, and then to be baptized into Christ, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, then you can know the joy of salvation. You can have the hope of heaven as well when this life is over. This morning, if you need